A doubt about Krishna, and when Krishna convinced him by his superior strength, Brahma felt very humbled. He felt put into his place. Krishna consciousness is only possible if you are put into your place. And this happens when you become truly humble. Rupa Goswami describes that there are four causes of this true humility. This true humility doesn't have anything to do with the inferior complex which we associate in this world with a humble feeling. True humility comes about, according to Rupa Goswami, if you see that really I had an opportunity, but I have not used this opportunity. You feel at that time grief. You feel a feeling of wretchedness. Oh no, I had such an opportunity, I didn't use it. True humility also comes when you recognize that you have committed an offense. It takes time before we can recognize this because our pride is often in the way. But if we recognize, my God, my Lord, you are so merciful, you are so kind, you constantly have given me opportunities, but I am so offensive, I have not used this. There is a very nice prayer which Jai Krishna gave me. I request him. It's by Sanatana Goswami. It is
by Rupa Goswami.
No, it is by Sanatana Goswami, but Rupa Goswami quotes it in his Nectar of Devotion and in the Padyala Rupa. A devotee feels also true humility if he just sees, this is actually the first one, I have such an opportunity. Here he says, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of devotion, developing love of Krishna. Namely, hearing and chanting. Don't you sometimes feel this? My God, there is this chanting and hearing is going on, but I have no love for Krishna, nor for this, what can help me to develop love for Krishna. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. Maybe you see this sometimes. There's such an opportunity as bhakti yoga, but I'm such a Buddha lass and nikobi. I don't have any connection with bhakti yoga. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious work are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. I'm not a philosopher. I'm also not a very pious man. But above all, I'm not even born in a nice family. I come from beer drinkers. My genetic codes, I sometimes think I come from a murderer. Yes. You know, those Germans who were under Hitler, they engaged in a lot of Nazi crimes. There's a joke about this. Angela Merkel comes to the border of Serbia, and the border man asks her, what's your name? She says, Angela Merkel. Where do you come from? Germany. Occupation? She said, no, only for a few days. I also didn't understand this joke in the beginning. Occupation can mean profession, but it can also mean occupatia, a country, you know. Do we say occupatia? So I can say that everyone still remembers. And my father was part of this, you know, occupation of other countries. The Germans were. So no nice family I come from. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Krishna, maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach the transcendental goal of life. And this is true humility. It means it arises when one sees, my God, there's so much opportunity, but I'm messing everything up. This is, you can see this, the quality that Krishna prays such prayers, mostly daily, and such a good quality. So I will not steal this card from you.
So Brahma is now really humble. He feels, not that I've missed an opportunity, he feels, I have offended you, Krishna. I've offended you in Vrindavan by disturbing your pastimes. I've stolen your calves and the cowherd boys from you to see what you would do now. And I really feel very bad. And in this humble spirit, he will now pray this prayer, which is very nice. I will read to you the purport of this prayer from Krishna book. I found this in the Srila Prabhupada comments the whole 10th canto, and he writes very beautifully about this prayer. My Tat astu me nata suguri bhago Bhavetra vanyatra vanyatra. Oh, vanyatra means the journey through the forest. Bhavetra vanyatra tuva tritas tirascham yenaham ekopi bhavach jananam budvani seveta papada palavam. My dear Lord, I pray to you, please make me fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even if I should take birth amongst the animal species, but wherever I may be, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Prabhupada comments this. My dear Lord, says Prabhupada, I pray that I may be so fortunate that in this life or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. Wherever I may be, I pray that I may be engaged in your devotional service. I do not even care what form of life I get in the future, because I can see that even in the form of cows and calves or cows and boys, the devotees are so fortunate to be always engaged in your transcendental loving service and association. You know, Brahma, big Vedic scholar, has just seen that even the cows and the calves, they're not humans. They don't have a human birth. They do Krishna. They are with Krishna. So he says, I don't care if my birth is high or low, as long as I can be a devotee. Because devotee has
the opportunity to be a Krishna.
Therefore, I wish to be one of them instead of such an exalted person as I know. For I am full of ignorance. The gopis in the house of Vrindavan are so fortunate that they have been able to supply their breast milk to you. Persons who are engaged in performing great sacrifices and offering valuable goats in the sacrifice cannot attain the perfection of understanding you, but simply by devotional service, these innocent village women and cows are all able to satisfy you with their milk. You, Brahma is saying, you know, others, big Brahmanas chant the Vedic mantras, but Krishna keeps themselves hidden. Some pandas make yagyas where they burn jewels and gold to see God, but Krishna keeps himself hidden. But from his devotees, the simple cowherd ladies of Raj, the gopis, Krishna runs in the mud behind them and says, oh, give me your milk sweets. Oh, please, please, please. No, you have enough, Gopal. You go to your mother. This is not good. No, please. If you don't give me your milk sweets, I will kill you.
Oh, Gopal, don't do this. If you start to steal now milk sweets when you are old, you will steal ox cars.
Such discussions. your character will be corrupted, you know. And so this discussion goes on in Vrindavan between the devotees and Krishna, loving discussions. But the Brahmanas, the expert in yajnas, Krishna keeps himself hidden. He doesn't want to engage with them. This is Brahma's thing. You have drunk their milk to satisfaction, yet you are never satisfied by those engaged in performing sacrifices. Are you simply surprised, therefore, with the fortunate position of Maharaj Nanda, Mother Yashoda, and the coloured men and gopis? Because you, the Supreme Personality of God and the Absolute Truth, are existing here as their most intimate, lovable object. My dear Lord, no one can actually appreciate the good fortune of these residents of Vrindavan. We are all demigods, controlling deities of the various senses of the living entities. And we are proud of enjoying such privileges, but actually there's no comparison between our position at the position of these fortunate residents of Vrindavan, because they, not we, they are actually relishing your presence and enjoying your association by dint of their activities. We may be proud of being controllers of the senses, demigods, but here, Evo. Here. The residents of Vrindavan are so transcendental that they are not under our control. Actually, they are enjoying the senses through Slutva to you. Brahma says, I shall therefore consider myself to be given a chance. I shall therefore consider myself fortunate to be given a chance to take birth in spirit. Let's do it again. I shall therefore consider myself fortunate to be given a chance to take birth in this land of Vrindavan in any of my future life. If you want to read this in your own reading time, it's a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It's on page 106 in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. 106 to 107. My dear devotees, the position of a devotee is very, very exalted. Vrindavanas Thakur says that if you have after your name the name Das, it's the best title you can get, better even than the title of Brahma. And we will talk a little bit about this, but first we must have our basis.
Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Purupale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachayine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vashyajaya Shagavani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara
very moving. Brahma, creator of the universe, but that's the highest position. We sometimes joke, you know, when you start as a bhakta, then you get initiated, first initiation, second initiation, then you become, if you want, guru, then you become GBC, and then the next position is Brahma. And if you are foolish, you think that maybe become God and have a very good career up to now. Now God is the only position left to me. Here, Brahma, really, I think no one in his right mind would think about the position. We may want to become the next temple president or a guru or a GBC or anything, regional secretary, many positions are available, but I don't think we would ever think of becoming God. We would, but Brahma, not so bad. Brahma says the best position I can imagine is to become a devotee, even if I should, because of my foolishness of disturbing you, Krishna, should have to take birth as an animal even, as long as I'm with your devotees. There are many, many prayers by our Vaishnava Acharyas which say that if I have to be taken birth, if I have to take birth, then let it be in the house of a devotee. Maybe as a cockroach or a mice. How do you say mice? Meesh. A meesh, a little meesh. Or a rat. You know, but at least I'm in the house of a devotee. Then, by their good association, I can maybe also become a devotee. Why? Why is a devotee? Prabhupada said you cannot become a devotee by dressing in a dhoti. It's in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Something else is required than a dress code or something external. What is a devotee? In our morning prayer, this morning we prayed one shakal pataru vaisha kripa sindhu vaisha. Do you know what this means? One shakal pataru vaisha. A kalpa taru is a desire tree which fulfills desires. You can go under the tree and you can desire something. There's still some desire trees in Vrindavan. You can try this. That really works. They're found in the spiritual world. So this quality of fulfilling desires is also there in the true devotees. They will see they will think, yes, someone coming. I should fulfill the desire for spiritual life, for genuine Krishna consciousness, and so on. And Kripa Sindhu. Sindhu means an ocean, and Kripa means mercy. Kripa, by the way, there are about six different words for mercy. Kripa, Daya, Karuna, Anukampa, and so on. I only know these four now at the moment. Prasad is another form of mercy. One other I cannot remember now. Kripa, you know, there is mercy which is given to a deserving candidate. You do something to earn this mercy, like the word for this earned mercy. Our rightful mercy is anukampa. But the word kripa means the person
If you want Kripa, you have no qualification. You have not earned the mercy. Prasad is another word like this. Prasad, we give prasad to everyone, even the end. No? We don't say, no, you cannot have prasad. The idea of prasad is just like God's mercy is given to everyone in the form of prasad. We can never exclude even a narcomanian may come. Even an atheist may come, but prasad he gets. So kripa is a mercy of God and of the devotees, which is given just like prasada, without any. You don't have to earn it. So these two qualities are given there in the scripture. The Vaishnavas fulfill desires, and Vaishnavas give things. Give mercy in big quantities. Ocean. Has the ocean ever said to the German tourists who come here, 100 euro per bar? No. Has the ocean ever demanded payment from the Slidranaths who go even in the winter? I understand you can swim in the ocean. You owe me, Mathurananda, says the ocean one day. You live here. You took last year exactly 153 baths. You wanted to take 154th bath, but you only went with your feet in because it was too cold for you. So, okay, you get half a bath for free, but 153 you have to pay me. Good prices, swimming pool price, I demand. No, ocean gives freely the mercy. Ocean gives freely the water. Will the ocean knock at your door and say, you have taken so much water, this is water which came from the clouds, it comes actually from me, you owe me so much? No, the human beings do such things. But ocean? Three baths into an ocean of mercy. So Vaishnavas are like this. They have this nature. They want to give mercy. These are true Vaishnavas. These are the qualities which we, as beginners on the spiritual path, have to think about. How can I fulfill someone's desire today? How can I give him some type of mercy, some help in their spiritual life is considered to be the highest mercy. But ordinary things like giving clothes and food is also a brief, it's also okay as Padanti Prati Grinati gifts. This is how Vaishnava should be, isn't? When we see that there's this disturbance in the Vaishnava society, we must all do everything we can to take care of this unfortunate situation, which is a curse really by Kali Yuga upon us. It's removed. Sometimes one cannot do anything because it's so complicated and the egos are so disturbed by the internet wars or whatever, then we must all pray, please, please give peace and happiness in the hearts of these Vaishnavas. Please, or when nothing works, sit down and chant and make kirtan in the temples and everything. The communities will come about. I saw this yesterday when we as a community did something together to try to go deeper into the chanting of the holy name so that we can chant with devotion from a deeper place within us. Then we felt, well, we are a community. We are brothers and sisters. We are in this all together. So Brahma wants to take his birth amongst such Vaishnavas. And he is serious. This is not just some nice verse. Brahma one day prayed to Krishna in the form of Gauranga. He said, "My dear Lord, I was hurting your pastimes when you came as Krishna. Why?
Because you are so proud. I'm so proud.
You're proud with one head, if you have 1,000,000 good thinking heads, you can be 1,000,000 times proud." So he said like this, I disturbed your pastime. I'm very bad. I have a very bad mentality. Now I have a desire. When you take your next birth," he had heard about Lord Chaitanya. I do not know from whom, but he had heard about, well, he knows all the Vedic scriptures. He must have heard the foretellings in, you know, in the Bhagavatam, for instance, Krishna Vanam, Krishna Krishna. And so he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya appeared before Brahma. Brahma cried and said, "Oh, most merciful form of the Lord, I was such a fool. I offended you in your Vrindavan pastimes. I have a request." Yes, said Gauranga. "What do you want? Please give me the request. First you say yes." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Brahma, say your request." Brahma said, "I want to take my birth when you come next time as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but in this birth I want to be a low-born person who cannot be proud because everyone spits on him. They will beat me with canes for my offenses. They will drive the offenses out of my skin. I want this because I want to be your devotee. I don't want to be your proud fool Brahma who is opposing your plan. I want to be your devotee." Gauranga must have felt, "Ooh, Mother Intelligence." He said, "Tatastu, you will take your birth and will be known as
Haridasa.
You know everything. Haridasa." He was not saying some lip service. He was for real. And he took his birth. In the Bhagavatam he expresses it. And you know, Haridasa Thakur's life was not easy. But because, you know, here he had taken, Muslims at that time by the Hindu society were not at all respected. You know, when Haridas was chanting in the forest of Benapol, so many people saw his greatness, and because he was chanting really from morning to next morning, he would sometimes be seen dancing and displaying the symptoms of love of God, and people would say, "This is a real saint." It would bring him foodstuffs and everything he required. He had a little hut which was just big enough that he could stretch out. Maybe his feet came out one through the door. It was just very small. He had built it with straw. Then one Hindu, aristocratic Hindu, he was a Brahmin, Ramchandra Khan was his name, Ramchandra Khan, saw this, he thought, "God, he's so low class, he's a Muslim, and the people, they come and give him food, are they crazy, is everything going to hell here, I have to show them that he's low class." And he called for the prostitutes. He called for Lakshahira. "Lakshahira, you go in the midst of the night. You do with him what you do with all the men. And I will come with my people
and we will catch this rascal while he is in your arms. Dakshagriha said, how much money? And he gave her a good sum. And then he came with internet cameras. Everything was there. BBC, you know. Catch him. Then I smiled. But Dakshagriha said, no. First, because he's after all very nice, let me be with him for one night. Then, second night, you can come. A little romance for me. Then, second night, you can come. Are you stubborn? Many challenges. Remember the other time? When he was whipped over 24 marketplaces in Singapore, I heard from Jayaprataka Maharaj, this is still done. You get a stick in two ways. One is this way, and the other is the big way, with more strength. This is not so painful. People like, with a long arm, with a short arm. He got it with a long arm. I've studied this very precisely, how it is done. Usually after 5 beatings, the victim faints and has to be treated by doctors for a long time because the skin comes off. He was not fainting because he was chanting so long. And it was really the torture was long, long time. You know what Haridas Thakur's life, and I can't tell you the whole thing. When at the end he was still alive, his torturer said, die, please die. If you don't die, the king will kill us for having treated you so nicely. And then he said, oh, sorry, I didn't know that I was creating any problems for you. And he fell on the ground. Mm-hmm. And a little later, they threw him in the Ganga. And when he was thrown in the Ganga, after some time he was swimming, getting out of the water and chanting heavily, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So then, the other people said, this was very bad what happened to you. Do you know what Haridas Thakur said? He said, it was good. It was because I was offensive. And now the punishment is gone. I'm free now. This is Haridas. This is Brahma. Just let us think about this in great appreciation. This is devotion, that is a high standard of devotion. Now, we are liking bhakti, we are liking Krishna consciousness, we like Srila Prabhupada, but we are walking in this direction. So, humility is good for us. Pride is not, it's not realistic. It looks really foolish if people like us are proud, and it is also not realistic. There's not much we can be proud of in comparison. No? When an ugly man goes brightly through the town of Split, the Splitters will laugh at him. No? My eyes are so proud. Look in the mirror how you look. It just, so we should also understand that we are approaching bhakti and we should not be proud. This is ridiculous.
This is Brahma's prayer. I want to say it again and then end. I like how Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, paraphrases it.
My dear Lord, says Brahma, I pray that I may be so fortunate that in this life or in another life, wherever I may take my birth,
I may be counted as one of your devotees. Wherever I may be, I pray that I may be engaged in your devotional service. I believe all of us have in previous lives been on our knees and say, my dear Lord, I pray that give me a better chance, please, to be more Krishna conscious. I do not even care what form of life I get in the future, because I can see that even in the form of cows and calves or cow and boys, the devotees are so fortunate to be always engaged in your transcendental loving service and association. My dear devotees, let us be simply grateful. Especially I am grateful that such an opportunity has come to me in this lifetime to try to serve with my body, my mind, my words, to try my best to serve. And that is a great opportunity. It comes very rare. Creator of the universe begs for this wonderful opportunity. Very moving, actually. You satisfy any little position, even an animal position. You become. Prabhupada, one time in a lecture, he got very ecstatic and he said, how merciful Krishna is, even for the ants. He said, when someone offers a flower to Krishna's lotus feet, if there is a mrav, an ant in the flower, and the flower comes with the ant, you know, air Croatia or air flower, you know, the ant comes and is placed before the lotus feet of Krishna. Then Krishna considers this ant kisses my lotus feet. You know, because the ant is coming and crawling over the lotus feet of Krishna. This is how we see Krishna. How much is the Krishna? He thinks this ant is very much full of love. So this is a very great opportunity, and let us keep this opportunity sacred, and let us help others. We have today a very same program with Narada Muni. I'm visiting him already, but I think he will come in the evening again. Kamala Sundar, maybe we have to invite Narada Muni again. He has left us. He's coming. And then Saturday we have a public program where we want to actually try to give the Kripa Sindhus and give the Kripa oceans of mercy to the people who hopefully come in good numbers, hopefully. So I will end here. Oh, what is it? My time is 10 minutes before 9, but it was half an hour, 10 minutes before 9. My wristwatch is, what is the time, please?
Quarter past 9.
9 to, oh God, it just stopped. I don't know what wristwatch, I forgot to turn 9 what, until?
60.
Oh, no problem. What do you think about this prayer? It's amazing, isn't it, Mahajala? And what I like so much is that he meant it. He doesn't just say it in the Bhagavatam. He had his private prayer session to Lord Chaitanya because he thought, maybe Krishna, as Krishna, he will not give fulfill this prayer. I better pray to the most merciful form of Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. So he prayed. This is prayers directed to Krishna, but he separately prayed one more time. Just the, we say in German language, doppelthalb besser. You know, double, twice is more secure, you know. So he prayed to Lord Chaitanya, and then he wanted to be born in a Muslim, in a family where there was, would be no opportunity to become proud. And where, in what age did he want to be born? In Kali Yuga. Because no one in Kali Yuga can be proud any longer. Why not? Because there are no good qualities. There is no reason to be proud in Kali Yuga. We are disturbed, lazy for spiritual life. We are less intelligent. And, you know, we have a few serious problems. No problem. Switchy video label. We will just engage in, we will do some service. But I just wanted to say, there's no reason to, it's good to be born in Kali Yuga because you can't be proud. It's just not possible. If you are Vahan, Hare Krishna, then you may need a good mirror before you. So I will end here. I'm sorry, I can't take questions and answers because of time. Or we have no time, no problem. No problem. Is there a question? Nita Daya. Mahajana can explain.
When I try to face my weaknesses, then I lose inspiration for the spiritual life. I feel something is wrong.
Yes.
How to get this inspiration?
You can't get inspiration for spiritual life by going to laziness, looking at laziness and foolishness or whatever weaknesses we have. This makes us more depressed. We should look at Krishna's vilas. We should look at the positive things. We should look at the prayers of Lord Brahma. We should look at spiritual things. That's very important. Humility doesn't mean to look at all the time at your disqualification. It means to look towards Krishna. A humble person is not sad because he does not engage his mind with all his disqualifications. A humble person is happy because he thinks of Krishna and his wonderful thing. This is very important. The direction of your of perspective of a humble person is not with his disqualification. Very important. He looks at Krishna. But of course, Nitaraya, it's a little bit subtle. He is also not ignoring and foolish and blind to his disqualification. He knows it's there. But let me now engage in devotional service. And this, you know, this disqualification is like a little feeling in the head. Oh, you know, like that, a little feeling in the head. Like now I have a feeling, oh, better stop, Sachinanda Swami, better stop. It's a little feeling in the head because we are hungry, we need to eat. You know, so it's a little feeling, it's there, which will control hopefully my speaking. But I'm joyfully speaking. about Krishna consciousness, but a little feeling is there. Better stop. You know, so in the same way, humility is this artist a little in the back. Oh yes, yes, where I'm coming from, but still I have an opportunity to serve Krishna. And this little feeling will take care that you don't go off the track, so to say.
Maharaj, regarding that question also, how to really be aware of those things? Because usually I saw that in the beginning of my spiritual life, I was always looking towards Krishna, not observing what's happening in me. And only when I asked devotees to point out those things, then I was being able to work on them and change them. So how to balance them?
I feel Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addresses this very nicely. How to balance by giving an analogy of a gardener. He says, when you cultivate a plant, there will be the plant of bhakti, you know, the bhakti lata, there will be weeds. You need to be aware and take these weeds out, because otherwise the plant will not grow. But where will be your main attention? It will be on the plant. Why do you take out the weeds? Because of the plant. You would have no business with the weeds if there would be not the plant which you want to do. The gardener knows, yes, I take care of the weeds. I must take care, because otherwise they obstruct the growth of the plant. But he does not forget the main plant, you know. He's not just only the weed man. If he is only thinking, taking care of the weeds, will the plant be getting water? No, he's busy with the weeds. So you must cultivate Krishna consciousness both directly, that is Krishna, 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 Shante, si vous plaît, and chant more, add Krishna to your life. But you should also see that the weeds go, because if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, you try to cultivate, and the weeds are also growing, the plant will not grow. I think this analogy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu tells you very much how to balance direct cultivation of Krishna consciousness and indirect cultivation by removing the weeds. And we have heard this analogy, and please reflect about it in your life. What does this mean for your life? You have to do a little reflection on this one, because balance is something which requires maturity. And maturity doesn't come overnight. You have to work a little on maturity. It comes by reflecting. If you always come to lectures and you never reflect about it, it will go in. You must reflect on this balance. Maybe if we get time to discuss, I would like to hear your thoughts on this. Think a little bit what this can mean, to become aware of the weeds and uproot them, but at the same time not forget the plant. Or you could say also, take care of the plant and at the same time not forget the weeds. It needs to be balanced. I will end here. Thank you very much. I know many devotees always like to speak with me. I don't have so much time because there's a full program. When I ask for questions, I always want that after the lecture, I am addressing the devotees to kindly ask their questions during this time. Then it's also beneficial for everyone. So please take advantage of the questions. And then I ask you, do you have questions? No, but I come and see you in a few hours. I think, do you have a question? Why do you want? This is a question, a time, not a question. But there are, of course, other questions which we do not want to ask. Now Yashoda Jivan will give us a little orientation of the day. Hopefully he has not forgotten everything like yesterday in the cave. Yesterday, Yashoda Jivan was in ecstasy. He could not manage any longer.